The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. So today we're talking with Erica Schrader. She is a local powerhouse in Pittsfield, and she is passionate about community service and giving back. And let me just tell you, when she wants to do something, she doesn't sit around and wait for it to happen. She makes it happen. She is the founder of West Side Table. She is the co-founder of Upstreet Smoke, and she is doing so much more. She's involved with our local government here in the city of Pittsfield. So we are just going to have a great conversation with Erica today. Erica, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
One of the things is that I know that you are a daughter of Pittsfield, but you know, since you've come back, you've been doing so many amazing things. And it was just really important because your name just kept bubbling up so many times. And I said, she is someone I need to talk to. I got to talk to Erica. So we like to hear a backstory. We like to take it back a little bit and really get the essence of the person. And in your case, you are a daughter of Pittsfield. You know, your parents, Althea and Frank Patrick, those were just strong players, right, in our Pittsfield community. And I just want to, you know, you grew up on the West Side, and, you know, I'm always fascinated by people who have these strong memories of this community that had so many people of influence and impact. Could you paint the picture of what that was like for you growing up on the West Side during this time?
Sure. It was amazing. I really grew up in a really great time. Growing up on the West Side meant you weren't just raised by your parents. Like, you were raised by, there's a whole ecosystem that we have going on here, or had going on. Back in the day, everybody knew everybody. You could walk down the street, you could be fed, corrected, encouraged, you know, sometimes all at the same time. And you were able to do that because of the relations. We knew how to speak to adults. People knew how to show up. I don't know how to say that any better. The West Side didn't just raise me. I think it prepared me, actually, you know, for a lot of things. It gave me roots and, you know, responsibility, and then the energy to come back and try to pour it back into the community. I didn't realize how special it was until I left. You know,
isn't that always the case?
Yeah, I wanted to dart out of here at 18, 19 years old. I was like, I'm getting out of here, you know, small town stuff. But I didn't realize how special Pittsfield and the West Side was until I left. And then now as an adult, I understand, you know. Mm. And that's the legacy. West Side was, Pittsfield and the West Side especially, was just, is a really good time to grow up, a really good time to be here.
So Go ahead, Erica.
I was about to say, I didn't just grow up here. So we were formed here, you know, we were put together real nicely.
You mentioned, you painted a really great picture. And I think for people who are transplants to the community, they don't have the privilege of having the firsthand accounts that you have. So for those of us, like, I remember meeting Reverend Duran, but I remember meeting him sort of at the tail end, right? Yeah. I feel like people who grew up here, they have such vivid memories. So when you think about those names now, it's like you were walking in the presence of people who were just amazing.
Yeah.
And for others, then they become, all we know is their legacy, but you actually saw their legacy in real time.
Yeah. And that's the amazing, like, we were living it. So
yeah,
I don't even know if we actually looked, we all knew they were all great people. They were all amazing, but like we were right there while they were doing these things, while they were creating these things and creating these connections. So it's like I said, it's an experience like no other. It really is.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about your parents?
Oh my gosh, my dad. Now that family goes back. Although my dad, and you just mentioned Frank Patrick, He's a Caesar, and I always say this in all assets, and have to remind people his mother was a Caesar. And what that means is I go back, and even when I'm joking, is that that's one of the founding families here, one of the founding Black families. You have the Caesars, the Prisips, the Frys, and so we go all the way back to Dalton to the probably 1800s. Just generational here. So my dad was born here, born and raised here. My mother didn't come here to the. She came to Pittsfield when she was 14. My mother's Bermudian, actually. Yeah, she's born in Bermuda. So my grandmother came first. Like most stories, or most stories with I want to say immigrants, but with most stories of people from the islands or from the Caribbean, is that you come out first, you get the job, you create the stability. So my grandmother came first, and my grandmother's from the West Indies. My grandmother's from St. Kitts. So she moved from St. Kitts, left at 18. There was some upheaval or uprising there, so she went to Bermuda, stayed there for a couple years, had some family there, and then she came to Massachusetts with a family. And so she worked for them. My mother came at 14, like I said. So that's when she met my father.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an interesting story. So you have Caribbean roots.
Yes, deep Caribbean roots. Yeah. I'm in Pittsfield, and my mother, Bermudian, the accent isn't so much Caribbean as more like an English accent. Oh, yeah. We have many cousins. I don't even want to, we couldn't even get into that side of the family.
Wow.
Now it could fill an
Have you gone
hour.
back to Bermuda?
I've gone back a couple times. I want to bring my kids back because now it's my turn, now that my mother has passed, to share that part. And I often don't do that. I'm like, I always, we're from Pittsfield, we're from the West Side, but I also forget that I have this whole other tradition that I need to hand down to my family. And so now I'm force feeding them Caribbean heritage now, and they're not liking it too much.
You mentioned something because you said once you turned 18, you kind of hightailed it out of here, and you were at Taconic and you left to go to college in Virginia. But tell me a little bit about that feeling at 18 to just say, I'm out of here. Did you ever think, okay, I'm gonna go to school and then come back? Or was the feeling in that at that time like, I'm out of here and I'm not coming back? What do you remember how you felt?
I'm not even sure. I just knew at 18, I wanted to experience some different things because Pittsfield is close. We're very close knit. And along with being close knit, a lot of us are related or interrelated. And I just wanted to see something new. So at the age of 18, I applied. And actually, before I moved to DC, I applied to Framingham State College. So I went to Framingham State College before I transferred to George Mason. And I just wanted to see something else. I don't necessarily know if I thought about whether I was coming back or not, but I just knew at 18, it wasn't a second glance that I was going to move some other things.
So you're down in, is it quite accurate to say that that's the DMV area?
I know that the people that live there don't like to call it the DMV, but because I am a transplant, yes, it was the DMV, Northern Virginia area. I was born in DC, but I lived in Northern Virginia. So yes, that's a sign.
Nice. And tell me how when you were down there, obviously you were living out aspects of your dream. You're in this great career. You're as you you know you're the background part of your professional role is tech, right? So
Yeah.
tech is sort of where your expertise lies. And so you're doing it up down south. Is it? I don't even know if I could even call
I
that down
know.
south because I feel
Again,
like they're very particular about
we
that.
are. We are south of the Mason-Dixon line, which to me makes us the South. But if you say that in DC, they are not the South.
Yeah, you're right. So I stand corrected. I stand corrected. But you're living out your dreams and supposedly you're also having fun too. But then something starts to happen, Erica, within you where you start to feel an internal pull of some sort. And I'm curious about that because anytime someone returns back home, there's always something that is within them and it starts with something. So what was that something for you?
I always say with Pittsfield, and especially again with the West Side, is that it's so ingrained in us that we can leave and go anywhere and we're going to find each other. Like you will have stories of people that have left just to marry somebody from Pittsfield, and maybe they live in DC or they move to Atlanta or California, or but that we find each other, and you never quite give that up. So while I had a pull, it wasn't really dramatic. It was a quiet pull. So when I came back, I had worked for a law firm for or several law firms for years down there, and that's where I got the IT background. But my firm was acquired by a bigger firm, and so I helped them transition my position, basically, which is really weird. Now I helped train them for my position so that they would then let go of me. So I got a generous severance package and just had a lot of time on my hands. So with my younger girls, my sons were in college down there. So with my younger girls, I was like, let's go to Pittsfield and hang out for a little while. And we were always connected. Like every summer, we would always come back and have events and family reunions and things like that. But no, we came back, and I didn't have a necessarily have a plan, but we ended up staying for several reasons,
So, couple of things. So, one, you came back. So your roots, you never quite gave it up. You always still had that connection to Pittsfield. But that's a big jump, Erica, because going from like DC and Virginia to like going coming returning full time to a smaller city, it's different. Even okay, because there's one thing to visit and another thing to actually say, all right, this is home 24/7, because you're making the adjustment from sort of the bigger city vibe to a smaller city vibe, which comes with its own set of benefits. It's just different. So how was that for you, adjusting, and what were some of the things that you felt like, okay, this is, I'm home now. These are going to be the things that are going to be important to me.
Again, it was a slow pull. I initially came back and realized, I would say a few months in, my father had cancer when I was in DC. I guess the story's too long. He came back before we came back. So he had moved back here to Pittsfield, found out that he had prostate cancer, and my sister kind of tended to him and came back and forth for events and doctor's appointments and things like that. He was in remission when I came back after my severance. So we were here just again hanging out, had my severance, and we're thinking about what our next move was. I actually got offered another position in DC about 2 months after I came back and was thinking about moving back when I found out that my dad was sick. So the cancer returned. So at that point, I kind of knew like I wasn't going anywhere. And maybe through the confusion, maybe I thought I was hanging out for a little while, whatever I thought. At that point it became reality. I knew I was sleeping and I wasn't going anywhere. So at that point, then I started growing roots here again.
What was that like for you? Obviously, you were tending to your dad, and I mean, I think you were able to get some important family time, and that's precious time that you can never, it's just invaluable, right? But what did it mean to you to reestablish roots in a bigger way? Because now you're reconnecting, and you made a joke earlier that everyone's like related to Pittsfield. So maybe it wasn't a big deal, because maybe it was like you're just kind of plugging back into what was already familiar. But you tell me what that felt like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though I did the return, it was definitely a huge adjustment. Like in DC, it's just a certain pace, professionally and personally. So Pittsfield, it kind of forced me to slow down. And it took a while. I came back speeding at first, but it forced me to slow down. My daily routine, how I move through the day, even how I measured productivity has changed, but it took me a minute. But again, no, it wasn't an easy transition because although I came back, Pittsfield has changed. And I have to remind people, I was gone for almost 30 years. So there was a lot of transition. I came back thinking the old Pittsfield, well, we were connected and everybody hung out. And if you got in your car and went down to Pitt Park, which is now Durant Park, that things were going on. And it wasn't that. It wasn't that. So it was a transition. And then I'm bringing kids back. And I'm not even saying back. This is their first time. They're from Washington, D.C. area. So now I'm having to adjust them to the routine and the pace and my family. Like, it's just different. You see, and you have family there. Like we had a lot of family that moved from here to there, but you don't see them all the time because you're in your own world working and rush hours and things like that. But here, The year I came back, I lived upstairs from my cousin. I had an uncle that would just pull his truck up to the yard and just yell out like, "Hey, Erica!" And my kids were not used to that. Kind of like, "Hey, we're safe." It's a different vibe up here, and the kids are they're good now, but it was a transition, and then I felt very protective with them. Like, I'm bringing my kids up here from Virginia and having to explain what Pittsfield is, and when you go to the Big Y, no, we're not just grocery shopping. Like, that's a family reunion. Like, you're not coming out of there under an hour because so many people you're reconnecting with, family,
Is
friends.
it really like that,
Oh
Erica?
my, it is truly. You can ask anybody. I sometimes don't even go to the Big Y. I go shop like the Stop and Shop out by Lenox because I want to get in and out quickly. But if I go to the Big Y, if anybody goes to the Big Y, you're not coming out quickly because you run into people you have seen and then you have to stop with them. People you haven't seen in ages, family reunions, class reunions, sometimes exes. It's horrible.
I do not have that experience at the Big Y,
Oh
but
my
then again, I'm
God.
a transplant. So,
Oh,
and I
yes.
also know that I'm not related to anyone here except my children. So,
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
I don't have to worry about, any, relatives, popping up or anything like that. But I was fascinated by that point because I'm like, wow, like a reunion in Big Y. It's like, okay.
No, it's serious. We had an event, which was funny. Like, I have my community meals, but someone else had a community meal. Terry Smith, who doesn't live here, she lives in Rhode Island, but she came back and did one. So we helped her with that. And my only job was to return some sternos and racks and equipment to somebody's house, to Sam's house. I would go to return the things, and next thing you know, it's 2 hours later because there's never a short visit. There's never a short interaction with people. So it's just, yeah, that's how it happens. Most of the time I'm home, but if I leave the house, my kids know that, message me to, check in so I can send proof of life because I'm ran into somebody. I'm hanging out. I'm now switched. I'm having a happy hour now. I've decided to go, And that's the part I love about Pittsfield, especially people from the West Side, is that it really is like that most days. Yeah.
Well, I can attest to the fact that from your social media postings, I can definitely say that you are living that vibrant life. And I guess, Erica, when I think about when you returned from that time moving forward to now, I feel like there's just been a layering, a layering, a layering of how can I help? What can I do? You just continue to move the needle forward. And I want to go back to a point that you made where you talked about when you returned, it was different. Obviously, years had passed since you had been here full time, and it was a different community. And you are a beneficiary of the people who, the legends that we know today. Was it a conversation that you kind of had with yourself, or a conversation that others had with you that made you say, if not me, then who? Because you've obviously stood up and said, I'm going to do all these things, but what was the it factor for you?
And again, it was very quiet. And I think it's just something I want to say that we do. And it's something that, especially with people, like everybody that's here has a mother or a grandmother that was already doing these things. So when people always point to me like, oh, Erica, you're starting all these things. I'm not starting all these things. These things were already occurring. And I just kind of decided to join in. When I first came back, my father was sick, so I tended to him. And then once he passed, I had a decision to make, like, I have a chance to run again. Do I get out of here? And then I realized, like, my kids are still young, they're finishing school. So once I decided that I was going to stay, I decided if you're going to stay, you're going to engage. Therefore, I needed to find out what people were doing, what they were thinking, how they were feeling. And again, they were already doing these things. They just accepted me in. And maybe I might be the louder person sometimes, but I don't want, I'm definitely not the leader.
And you're
But
absolutely right. There are, I call them, the quiet storms, right? Of
Correct.
people who are making an impact, making the ripples, creating all of that good energy in our community. And you're right. And sometimes they're behind the scenes and no one may never know their name, but they are still doing the work. I think in your case, you're very, you're out there. And so it's very easy and visible to see what you're doing. And I think in some ways, Erica, that's a good thing because here's the thing. There are those who say, well, I'm busy with life, and, I have this going on and that going on. I don't have time to do this. And you're showing how everyone in your own way can play your part. Right? You're showing that it can be done. It just starts with just doing. And I want to segue into the West Side Table
Okay.
because that to me, I was watching the genesis of that and the
Oh,
how it
yeah.
evolved. And I could see from when it started as the kernel, at least what you posted visibly to
Right.
others. And I could see how it started with, if you're interested, it was like, we're doing this. And then if you're interested in joining, here's how you can support. And it went from that to, we're having this meal. And it went from that to, here's a reel of people showing, preparing the meals. And it went from that to, we're collaborating with this location and we're going to be at Dottie's. So there was an evolution of a kernel of an idea. And then it manifested into it's here.
It did. I tell
Talk
you.
about that. Talk about, yeah.
Like everybody back in November, we were all frustrated and a little bit confused with what was going on, and people were going to lose SNAP benefits, what meant people that you knew were now going to have some extra struggles, and especially around the holiday. So I don't know, me and my glass of wine were sitting up here talking, and we're like, we're really upset about this. Literally, it was that. I was just happened to have my
Was
face.
the wine talking back to you, Erica?
I think it really was, and I think that's who decided to tape to do that post. I tell everybody it's the wine. All I know is I did a post, and you wake up the next day, and I had inboxes and calls, and it took on legs of its own. And that's what I always say is that the undercurrent, this was already happening.
Yeah.
People were already feeding people and checking with them. I think I just might have said it out loud. The people that wanted to join, I was even the volunteers, I was thinking, well, they might want to volunteer once or twice. These are people that message me, show up the entire
Yeah.
time from, do you need me to grocery shop to and anything you need, delivery. And it's because they were already kind of doing it to me. So I don't want to, I don't hate to say it, but it's not me. Maybe I
Yeah.
did something, but this thing already was a moving, existing thing. You know,
Yeah.
we put a title on it and it was already out of the box. Even the donations, when we started asking, like, listen, I'm not 501, was it 3C?
501c3 or something. Yeah.
501. Yeah, I'm not
Yeah.
haven't applied, even though on the side, I have been trying to do some things. That's funny is that I was trying to do some things on this side that this kind of came and just was like, no, this is it. You know, the West Side Table was it. And so, to me, that was, I don't know, that meant intention was meeting the needs at some point. And that the people that are out there that wanted to do things. So it just grew legs of its own and just tried to continue to keep it in. And even trying to keep it in, I'm battling with that because like you said, I already had some things going on. So here I am stepping knee deep into this and had to put some other things on hold because it just grew so quickly. But I was amazed, and the
Yeah.
team, oh my gosh, the team that I have of people is they're amazing. You know, they're standing now. We have more money, more donations that have come in, and now we're just looking for a home, a space,
Yeah.
because it does get exhausting looking for extra spaces and
Right.
rents. But
I'm curious, Erica, with the folks who are able to come and enjoy a meal at one of the community meals, how do they find out about these meals that are available to everyone? Are these folks that are hearing it word of mouth? I mean, I know that you're very vocal on social media, but do you ever talk to the folks who are there in attendance and say, how did you find out about us?
no, when we were at Dorothy's, you know, the side of Daddy's, people
Yeah.
just came in. Well, no, I don't want to say people just came in. We had some of our folks, our team, go outside and see people walk past. I'm like, hey, do you know that we're having a brunch today? And then
Yes.
it's funny with, especially with Dorothy's, one gentleman came in and he got a meal. And I was like, do you want some coffee? So we got some coffee and he sat. And then he says, do you mind if I tell some friends? And so he left, came back with two or three other people. And he goes, do you mind if I get another meal? And I'm like, well, no, have another meal. He left, came back with more friends. They just pulled up, sat in the front of Dorothy's, had the coffee, had the meals, and then some other people, again, they went out and just, I don't even know what the word is, but then we had some people that lived upstairs from Dorothy's that came in and got food, had some conversation. Now we realize that one of the guys is actually into food and wants to participate as well. So he got some food, donated money, and now I'm trying to get our next event on so that he can come and help. And then they have a child that they want to come and help as well. So it's really that. I don't know. I don't even, I can't put a name on it, but people just know. And then some of the team, they get on the phone because they know people can't get out. You know, they don't have cars and can't get out. And so that we have to make sure we're preparing meals for them. And then we have people's parents, we have people's grandparents that might be, you know, in some of these older homes. And so we have to make sure we're getting to them, you know. It's
So
just
in those cases, you're dropping off meals to those folks who are homebound.
yes. And well, most of it was homebound. While we both events that we've had so far, while we've had a few visitors come in, a majority of it was homebound, which then allows you to think and go back to the table is, wow, people aren't, you might be getting meals Monday through Friday, but the weekends are kind of scarce for people. Now we're unveiling other, you know, other areas that need to be covered. So, and that's all we're about, because I do realize that there's food pantries and food services. We're about filling the gap. We're not trying to take away from whatever anybody else is doing. It's all about filling the gap. And Saturdays and Sundays is a hard time for food service.
I think that's an important distinction because, I think there's so much good work happening, and I feel like you can never have too much good work. But you bring up a good point about the weekend time frame where some places might not be open, and so people are hungry 24/7, right? 7 days a week, and so that those needs don't stop. So, what a wonderful thing, but. I know we're gonna soon take a quick, 30-second break, but and we're gonna get into all the things that you're doing on top of West Side Table, because you're a very, very busy lady. So, Erica, when we return from the break, we're gonna get into all of that, okay?
Okay.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
What is One Berkshire? We're the voice of the business community, promoting the region and supporting local business. How do we do it? Through marketing, networking, sponsorships, and advocacy. Whether it's promotion to travelers and second homeowners, or opportunities to network with your neighbors and raise your profile, we've got you covered. So join today. Visit oneberkshire.com. That's the number one, berkshire.com.
The preceding public service announcement courtesy of WTBR and Lee Bank.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock. on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sandrini.com.
Hi, everyone. For those listeners just tuning in, my guest today is Erica Schrader. And if you don't know the name Erica Schrader, you will very soon. She is a powerhouse and she is so humble. She is extremely humble, but she is, I'd like to say, one of our doers. And we have many doers in Pittsfield and Berkshire County, and I'm glad to know that she is one of them. So, Erica, we were just talking about your recent, initiative, West Side Table. That came about, again, you said, from between a glass, a conversation between you and a glass of wine. You know, out of that conversation, right, came some really good takeaways. And that takeaway was West Side Table. And, you know, one of the things that I know you have been really clear to highlight is that the work has been happening. It's not something that you created. You might have brought visibility to it. And I totally respect that, because oftentimes, sometimes it can be easy to just pinpoint and put a face and a name and say this person owns something. And you come from a community where you have seen it's always been about a collective effort.
Yes.
And many hands at the plow doing the work. And so I really like the fact that you are giving that that acknowledgement to those names that we may not hear about, but are steadily working to make our community a better place. So thank you for that. So I'm trying to figure out with West Side Table, and I mean, it's literally like, I mean, it's you have an initiative that you got to keep running. I mean, there's, you know, you have the funding coming in, you have to arrange the volunteers, you have to arrange the food, there's the menu to discuss. So there's that. I mean, there's also your full-time job. So yes, you have that. And then you're also the co-owner of Upstreet Smoke, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So you're also doing food catering on your own.
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot. There's a lot happening here. So I want to just unpack it for folks who may not know. We talked a little bit about the West Side Table, but, you know, Upstreet Smoke was something, a passion project of yours. And you started that, co-founded that with Thomas Moody. And, you know, this is something that is currently still in the works. You guys still have this business.
Yes, it's still running. It is. Yeah. And even when you want to sit down and rest, then you all of a sudden you get a call or a message or you get a request. So it grows on it again. It just grows on its own. And so I love it.
How are you managing all that you're doing? I need to know, what is your secret right now? Tell me, what is your secret to manage all these things?
Insanity. Sometimes I sit down and look at myself and I just get really irritated and tired. I'm like, go sit down. Can you sit down for a minute? Yeah. It's just, and I guess if I say this, then we go into another era, is that during COVID, I had to go to the hospital and for a really easy procedure, which we thought was easy. 6 minutes into it, I had a cardiac arrest. Yeah. 2020. And I think since then I came back and I am chasing life or running away from death. I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I have decided that I'm not doing any bucket list. If there's something I want to do and there's space for it and maybe other people have an interest, that we're going to do it. Sometimes I rest as well. You'll see that I'm on Facebook. You'll get sick of me. I'm posting and I'm over here and I'm over there. And then you'll see a quiet moment. So I also have my times where I just, okay, Erica, sit down for a moment and regroup.
Yeah. You know,
and it's just, And it's not like just regrouping because for the next level of whatever it is, I can't be successful if I'm all over the place. But I think a lot of it stems from that. Not that I wasn't busy before, but now with the community and the catering and the comedy and the line dancing, it's if I see something I have an interest in. And again, Pittsfield is a little different. If you're in Washington, D.C., or you want a line dance, you just call a girlfriend and she meets you at a local bar, and they already have people dancing in the music. Here it's a little, I don't want to say harder, but it's more challenging. So if you want to do soul line dancing, unless you want to go to Albany or Springfield, you have to do it yourself. And I guess that goes back to a party we used to have before we were even living here. My sister and I, we'd come up for the 4th of July. And at that point, some of the local bars weren't open. So we're like, let's have a party. So we've been having a party for 25 years, and it stems out of the need. You're sitting there, you're having drinks with a girlfriend or with your family, like, hey, we want to dance. We put a dance together. That's how line dancing came together. Hey, I want a line dance. And then they were trending with the cowboy line dancing. I was like, I want a line dance. Call a couple girlfriends. You put it together, and it kind of again grew on its own. We started saying we're going to do one or two, and then people were offering for us to come to their events. Somebody even Chatham. I don't even know how they found us. We're like, hey, do you want to come to our festival and dance? And at that time, I think we were booked somewhere else, but we even had a few bookings. It's amazing to
There's
me.
a name for this group. Is it the Berkshire Soul Society?
Berkshire Soul Society, and
I love it.
it's a group of women that love coming together to line dance and have a cocktail. And again, it takes on its own mission.
But see, in that, Erica, what I'm getting from this whole thing is that, and I guess it goes back to your brush, your health scare, right? And that brush with death. I mean, staring it in its face and coming out on the other side and saying, I'm here, I'm living, what do I want to do with my life? And I think, like you said, it's like that. If you want to do something, you just do it. So sometimes people can overthink things and say, okay, we have to have this, we have to have that. Like again, with the Berkshire Soul Society, all I saw was, hey, does anyone want to line dance? We're going to meet here. Let's just do it. And then it took off from a few women coming together, and then you're booking events. I mean,
I can only laugh because I don't understand. My kids look at me like, what are you doing? I was like, now I need a logo. And they're like, you just want to, can you just dance and come home? I was like, no, I can't. I'm official now.
Obviously, I mean, you guys are booking gigs. They know how to find you, obviously. I mean, they're researching and they're finding you, and I mean, I think what I'm getting from this, Erica, is that you're not waiting for the moment. You're creating the moment. The Berkshire Soul Society is indicative of that, and to the point where sometimes people are like, there's nothing to do. I think we've sometimes heard that there's nothing to do, there's nothing to do. And you're like, well, you make
Let's
your
do
own fun.
something. Let's do
There,
something.
let's do something. So again, it turns the statement into analysis of, well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to contribute to the community that you want to enjoy? So, I mean, Berkshire Soul Society is on top of, let's just stack the deck here. It's on top of Upstreet Smoke, which we want to get into to find out what are some of the highlights coming up in 2026, but it's also on top of West Side Table. And you're also involved in local government. You're on the cultural council. So you have a seat at the table when it comes to talking about all the things that are interesting and vibrant for the city, and for people to get into. So there's a lot that you have your hands in. And when you think about your business, right, the business side of things with Upstreet Smoke, walk me through like the daily logistics, because you mentioned insanity and I respect that, but insanity doesn't get things happening. So what does a day in the life of Erica Schrader look like?
Oh, well, it starts out really dragging myself out of bed to bring my teenager to school and talk with her and whatever she needs. Then I go to my 9 to 5 and put in whatever's needed at that. It's IT, so it's really never 9 to 5, but I love doing that as well. That is my foundation. I've been doing IT since, oh my gosh, I was in my 20s. So that's my foundation, which allows me to do all this as well. So once I get off from that job, now it's time to kick into, the creative side of Erica. And so I come home and, talk with my kids for maybe an hour or so. I don't even want to say an hour or so. Like where I'm sitting now, my laptop is on a table in the living room. So this goes open and then I have homework to do. So I have whatever, whether it be 30 minutes, 45 minutes, depending on what it is. If it's an event coming up, okay, we're doing the menu, or I have to email somebody an invoice or whatever. And it's only 30 to, like I said, 40, 30 to 45 minutes, but it's just being very restrictive with your time. I mean, even
Okay.
during the day, if I have a lunch hour, I either come home or again, whip open another personal laptop. That's 30 minutes of doing something, of organizing something, of creating something, of phone calls. I have
Right.
all day, I have a notebook of a list of the things to do. And of course, it's always, family first, but then it's family, community, comedy, catering. And when I really get exhausted, then all of that goes to the side and it's just me and the puppy, hanging out for a little bit. But that's just a short period of time. But that's how my whole day goes. Unfortunately, every 15-minute increment is kind of booked out.
Yeah,
And I
that's
can get a lot
important.
done in that time,
Yeah.
realizing, yeah.
I asked that question because I think it's important to understand how people get things done, and things start with ideas, and there's a vision, but there's also the work.
Yeah.
There's the work and there's that commitment that helps to move things forward. So, this is how you get things done, Erica. You have a process, and it's important because again, there could be someone who is looking at you and saying, "Wow, Erica, she has all these great ideas. How does she do it all?"
Right.
And so you have identified what's most important to you, and you make the time for it,
Yes.
You make the time for it. It's like people say, "Well, I want to read more." And it's like, "Well, if you want to, it's like, well, that means you can't be on social media as much, maybe, 'cause like if you want to be in like, I mean, so it's like a trade-off. And so life is about trade-offs, right? Like if you want to do more of this, you got to do less of something else
Right.
because there's that balance that comes into play. But when we think about what we can expect from one of your many ventures, and that's Upstreet Smoke, what can we look forward to in 2026?
Oh, 2026 with Upstreet Smoke. Oh my gosh. I'm letting it lead me,
Okay.
per se, and I guess that's not the greatest answers. I want to gravitate more towards catering and less of the pop-ups, but I do know that I get the catering because of the pop-ups. So I've been looking at that aspect. I want to do more packaging and things like that, but I like West Side Table with Upstreet Smoke, I'm pop up. I don't necessarily have a permanent home yet.
Okay.
And I'm not rushing to do that as well. I want to make sure that's sustainable. I don't want to have grand openings and then grand closings because I've jumped in too deep. Plus, I have college to pay for. So I really have to make sure that when I'm jumping into things that I can, that it's sustainable for not only me, but the family. But
Right.
with Upstreet Smoke, I'd like to do more catering. I like the collaborations. I'm a collaborator. Oh my gosh. Along with, I was talking about 15-minute increments. During my 15-minute increments, I'm hard sales. I'm reaching out to hotels or breweries or a restaurant or an Airbnb or whatever to see if there's any potential for things. And while you might get, I don't know, my 9 or 10 no's, you're going to get a one or two yeses every once in a while.
Yeah.
And then that's when you see me. Oh, Erica's doing a collaboration with this person and how's she doing it? Again, like you said, there's a lot of work to it. And I reach out to people all the time. I sent a letter to an existing business last week asking if I can use their kitchen every Sunday and Monday. And they actually make similar food. So I don't expect anything back.
Yeah.
But again, why not? Why not ask? I only need
Yeah.
Sunday and Monday. I don't need 5 days a week and I don't have time to build out a kitchen. So I ask. If you
Yeah.
know something, ask.
I
In a
love that,
polite way,
Erica.
though. Yeah, in a polite way, of
In a
course.
polite way, but that fearlessness, right? That saying that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, if you really move forward with that mindset of, I'm just gonna do it. And they might say no, but they might say yes.
Yes, and that's how Upstreet Smoke is still today. We have the pop-ups, but one of the first pop-ups was at the Juneteenth event, and we were sitting right next to some staff from Shakespeare and Company. They smelt the food all day. We gave them a sandwich. A week later, she was messaging, "Hey, we have a play coming, and we would like you to cater." We hadn't even catered. We were
I
only
remember seeing you there.
yes, yeah. We came
Yes.
for what is it? The piano lesson was
I
it?
forgot what it was,
Oh
but I
my
remember
gosh!
seeing you there.
But yeah, we had a their opening. We actually had catering. We actually did their opening when it was just cast, and then we went back that summer and did the pop-ups as well. But it just kind of naturally falls in. Oh, we smell
Yes.
food, and they just reached out again for us to return. Or,
I love that.
and I'm debating because I don't necessarily want to do as many pop-ups. So now I'm, but I have to follow up because they're
Right.
good people. One connection makes
Leads to
another
another.
connection. It just flows. And if we can't do it, I've already started referring other food trucks as well. I'm like, I might not be able to come back, but hey, what about this person? They have some really good ribs too, type of thing. Because I think there's enough room for everybody.
I love that. And you're absolutely right. There is, the pie isn't restricted to just a few. There is something for everyone. And I think it's a mindset, right? It's
Yes.
understanding that mindset that there's room for everyone. There's space for everyone to fit in. If you have something special, don't dive right in. Dive right in. There's a space for you.
Right.
I Hearing you and hearing your journey, I'm wondering, do you ever have opportunities where you speak to young people or other people about just some of the lessons that you've learned along the way?
I wouldn't say so. I've emceed and hosted a few events, but not necessarily sat down with anybody. But I mean, I'm open to it, and not just children, but anybody, like anybody that even is cooking out of their kitchen
Or
or
other
a chair.
entrepreneurs.
Yes, I'm an open book. I'll give you everything I have because I think what's for me is for me, and I can't be delayed or shorted by not giving you the same information, you know? So, and I tell people that anytime, you know, there's some people I remember in DC, when I first moved down there. And when you're a transplant, you're not from there. So you go out with your little Pittsfield friendly attitude and like, "Ooh, girl, where'd you get your hair done? Or where'd you get their bag?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't remember. I remember that the first time here. Well, I don't remember where I got the bag. I'm like, you don't remember where you got your purse from?" I'm the person like, "Ooh, no, girl, this is on sale. This is at Burger. There's two more left. You want me to give you, I can give you a ride." So I think that's why I say I'm insane because a lot of people aren't that transparent. Like this is me. This is me on wine. This is me in comedy. This is me catering. I don't think unless I'm very tired or sad, you're not gonna catch me being much different in any of the roles or trying. And I'm not trying to gatekeep because it's not my information to keep.
I just Erica, you have such a great spirit about you. And I love that. And I love that you didn't allow DC to change you or make you hard,
Oh no, I was doing meetings down there. I think I did a group called In Her Shoes Collective where passion meets purpose. And we were meeting at some tea shop, I remember. And I forget about that. Sometimes it takes other people to remind me, like, "Girl, you've always been this way." People have to, because I'm always thinking it's new to Pittsfield. And I was breakdancing at 13 because I thought that women should be able to breakdance too. So. Always creating groups, always creating missions, and people just they're like, let's just join her. I guess she's okay.
And you're like a magnet because you have such a vivacious personality, and such a wonderful smile. And I think what that does is it brings people in, Erica, because that's so important. Like you're like, well, this is me. This is me. And I think people gravitate to that authenticity. And you mentioned something, which I don't know if, I mean, I guess people who know that you're also a comedian and you've had your shows and, your comedy start, you got started in a way that you probably didn't think you were going to get started. You were supposed to do the roast for the ex-boyfriend and never quite happened. And, but something about the comedy bug stuck with you and you ended up going to improv and learning the technique and doing all of that. And I'm like, okay. And so comedy in and of itself is like an art. It's an art.
You're right. I always think I look at other people as artists, and I'm just over here, just the nosy neighbor, I always say, just poking my nose and everything. But it is an art form, and I'm very appreciative and so happy that I started it. Comedy is amazing. I've met some really great people, and I've been on some really great stages, working with
Yes.
people. So
Oh my goodness.
a
So
great time.
I know you mentioned that when you're on the stage and you are reading the room, you can almost pull like the energy and you know how to pivot when you need to pivot. Has that gotten over the years as you've become more seasoned as a comedian? What does that look like for you? I mean, obviously you can pivot on a dime, but are you able to totally go into improv if needed, if you feel like the room requires that?
I, you know what I'm gonna say, not like other comedians. There are comedians way better than me, more amazing, and it's because I can't put in the same amount of time. Comedians, when you first start, you should be on stages like 3, 4, 5 nights a week,
Oh,
and the
wow.
more you're on stage, the easier that comes. Because I'm also a parent, and especially in DC, and I had to drive into DC or Maryland to do shows. And then here I had to restart doing comedy. So then I had to go all the way to Hartford or Albany to do shows. I still have to get up the next day to
Yeah.
and to my family. I still have to do dinner and things like that. I've done a few shows in New York and then come back just again. I'm up the next day dropping my kids off. And I don't put in the time needed to be that, to have that improv level. There are
Okay.
people that do it way better, but I still enjoy what I do. And the more I do it, then I know that it comes.
Yeah.
I still enjoy it. Like even this year, I didn't do as much comedy because the catering took off.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And I did try once to do both and was totally tired for like 2 weeks. My feet
Like,
hurt, my voice hurt, everything. So I tried to keep those separate.
yeah.
I had a show, was it last weekend?
Yeah.
And really rusty, but I had the best time. I
Yeah.
really had the best time, and it reminded me, like, this is why you do this. As soon as you hear those first few laughs and
Yeah.
interactions, there's nothing like
Well, when you say rusty, what does that mean? Like you feel like the jokes don't flow like, or is it your tempo, your timing,
it's
or
my timing, because usually
yeah.
if I'm on consistent shows, then I don't know, then you're like talking to me in the living room. And
Okay.
although it's natural and you're talking to people, you have premises.
Yeah.
There is study to it. So you know when you go on stage, I'm going to talk about my kids. I'm going to talk about cooking. I'm going to talk about some exes. And you know that, but when you've done it and done it and done it, it just comes easier.
Okay.
So I always want it to be like we're sitting here talking.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm a little hesitant. And then my brain's a little slow as well. So I have a bit of a delay. So that's when I'm rusty, is that I think some of the people in the audience were starting to talk to me, and stand-up
Okay.
is not necessarily interactive. So usually I have a quick
Yeah.
spiel to them, you're like, hey, and say something funny, and I didn't really have anything at the show. So I just at that point I was like, hey, you do know that stand-up comedy is not interactive, but if you want to come up after me, and then he caught on, and and then and laughed and participated. But
I have to take my hat off to anyone who is a comedian because you have to also, there's such a level of transparency, vulnerability. They, oftentimes people use their own life story, narrative, whatever,
yeah.
as fodder. And sometimes that comes from pain. Sometimes it's joy. It's a lot, but either way, you have to be vulnerable. And what a way to like, you have to literally stand there. And if people don't like you, and they're not pleased with your jokes, then they won't laugh. I mean, so you're
Yes.
literally looking rejection in the face when you do those things. It's either rejection or acceptance.
And
No two ways about it.
the people that don't think it's funny are always the people up front. It's like, why can't you sit in the back?
Right?
They're
Just
always the
staring at
person that wants to
you.
sit right in the front
Just
staring.
looking at you.
And it's like, and then the thing is, you can have 200 people laughing, and the only person you remember is that one face that
Person who did not laugh and who just
yes.
stared at you, and you're like,
Yeah.
and
So
then you
you'll
start to like analyze what I wonder what it was.
Yeah, you think it like maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
And it only took that one person, oh
One
boy,
face, because
one
now I'm
face.
focused on that one face, and I want to figure out why. And it's, yeah, comedy, it's funny like that.
Well, you know what? That's just like a metaphor for a bigger, you know, just the bigger view as we close out when we think about,
That's
you know,
true.
there's always one, but there's so many more. And so
Right. Don't
as
focus
you're
on that one thing that
exactly.
have you stuck. There's all this other amazing stuff going on, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So shift the gaze, shift the focus. It's like no matter, you know, you'll always have, there could be the ones or the twos or whatever along the way, but focus on the big picture. Right, the big picture.
There you go.
So, you know, Erica, as we're closing out, you know, I was gonna say when you're not working, what do you like to do for fun? But you're also line dancing, you're doing all these things, you're having the conversations with the wine. So you tell me what do you like to do apart from your self-care and your dancing and all the things? Is there anything that I've missed that you want to mention that you do just for Erica?
Just for Erica. I'd have to think on that one. I don't know when I'm not doing anything at all. And people always think that I'm always doing something as well because social media has
It would appear that way.
me
Yes,
out there. But no, every
it
night
would appear.
I come home. I love spending time with my kids. I have some really great kids.
You do.
So I love spending time with them. And we just rewatch everything because I don't like taking on anything new because then I actually have to think. So we
Yeah.
rewatch shows because then you don't
Okay.
have to think about it. You don't have to expect
I do the
anything.
same thing. I do the
Yeah,
same
there's
thing.
a comfort in knowing you already know what's going to be said. So I don't, no surprises here. Nobody's jumping out. So I do that with, especially with my girls, but now my sons are starting to join, which, and this week specifically have my oldest son has started to join. So I'm doing something right if
I
you
love
are
that.
with mom.
Oh, I love that, Erica. Well, as we get down to our last question, if you had to choose one word to describe you, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. I already said insane. one word. I want to say that despite everything, you know, the ups and downs, I want to hope that I'm joyous, that I joy, I bring joy, I give joy, I get a lot of joy from other people, being around great people. Yeah, joy. Joy.
Joy.
Can I say that?
Joy.
I'm
I love that. And I think, you know what?
always
Joy.
looking for it. I'm trying to find it, and then I try to give it as much as I can as well because I know everybody, you know, it's hard out here.
It is. And you know what? Joy is going to have the final say.
Yes, I
All
hope so.
right. Me too. Erica, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you so much for widening the path and creating the space so that others can also continue to do the important work that they have been doing in our community, and continue to be a beacon of light because, like you said, others do see you on social media and they're like, Erica's into everything. And I am convinced that there's someone who's looking at you right now saying, I want to be like Erica. So, continue to do your amazing work. Continue to roll up your sleeves. We're all rooting for you. And so, yeah, we'll just continue to follow your journey on social media. And the next time the Berkshire Soul Society makes an appearance, we'll be watching for that too.
I am too. I'm ready. I'm ready to do some line dancing. Thank you so much for the invitation. I had a great time. I
You're
actually
very
prepared
welcome.
some answers and then didn't read any of them.
Well, no, because you know what? It's authenticity. It's all
Right.
about the authenticity. And
Right.
that's the power of our conversations. We just go where it flows. And
Yes.
thank you for being open to that. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, you've been listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on Pittsville Community Radio. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope you have a wonderful day.